just let loose with something that touches me whenever I hear anybody say that. Looks like somebody owns it, or it looks like somebody lives here, you know. That's what Mr. Ray would say. And he made me giggle the first time I ever heard it, and every time since, I'm reminded of him. So, that's fine. Sprinkle your conversation with things you've heard from other people who have gone on now and that we still love. I've known some marvelous human beings. I really have. I've been my good fortune. And I'll include the present company. But even so, there are some that are outstanding. Some outstanding people in that small group. That was Ray Allison. KK4JBQ.
Well, look, Eddie, as long as we remember them, they're still with us, and yeah, we miss them and that sort of thing, but they're not gone. Once their memory is forgotten, then that's when they really are gone forever. As long as we remember them and, or somebody remembers them, they're still with us. And, I do use quite a few things that I've heard other people say. I call a lot of people young man. Heard that. I don't remember where I heard it the first time. But it kind of stuck with me. And, I say that quite a bit. And, things like Ray said that I heard him say, and I repeat it, and it's just gotten to be a habit with me. But most of the things are good, you know, which is a good thing. But I try not to dwell on the bad stuff anymore. Yeah, we're not as young as we once were, which is a good thing, because people tell me, oh, I'd love to be 16 again. I'm not me, brother.
Oh, no. 16 had its... Oh, there were some advantages. I had yet to have my first piece of pizza at 16. At 16... I had only ever eaten at my mama's table, and my mama didn't make pizza. But anyway, it's quite true. Yeah, it's true. And I once heard, and this is along the same vein, I once heard that if you're not a celebrity, if you didn't live a notable life, of some note, you know, you wrote a book, you served let's just take the top of the heap, you were president of the United States, you know, those people will be remembered, and for good reason, and for different reasons, of course, but otherwise, in 200 years, very few, or maybe even nobody, still remembers that you were here. 200 years does not seem like a long time to me, and I heard that to be the truth, and it kind of makes sense when you think about it, when people stop talking about you. So, everybody within the sound of our voices, do not forget the people you love. Tell everybody you know. Tell them why. And maybe they will be mimicked or copied or just what they had to say repeated. It's a good thing to pass on. And then, too, I just hope that Ray Allison lives forever in our hearts. I really do. I have not known many people standing as tall as him. And he was not very tall physically, you know, but he was a big guy. He's just a big guy. KK4JBQ.
KOS and Blue Ridge 2 Meter Net for KK4JBQ. Well, Larry, you're absolutely correct. And there's the, well, you know, if we remember the little people, the big people, you know, they're going to be remembered anyway. You know, the people, the historians or the people that try to keep up with history, whether they write it down correctly or not, you know, because, well, history is only as correct as the way people put it down. And a lot of times they put it down wrong. But that's okay. You know, we kind of figure that out as we go along and get older. But yeah, there's certain people like, you know, Ray and other folks that you've met and known for a number of years. And another one comes to mind, and you know him probably better than I do. And I'm trying to remember his call. I can't remember it right off the top of my head. Oh, well. I've lost it, Larry. Lost my train of thought there. But the fella that you and he rode together a lot, and y'all came up to Ray's when we was up there cutting wood. Tell me his name. I can't remember it.
I think you gave me enough to recall, but it just won't come to mind. The clue that we rode together a lot. Well, it might pop into, you know, things like that. It's happening more frequently later, or of late. Just lately, it's happened more than I ever experienced before. Let's put it that way. Ability to talk in a stream of consciousness. If I'm awake, I can talk for hours. Drives Donna crazy. Truly does. But I can talk about anything with anybody. And I heard once that Harry Truman was that way. President Harry Truman. He was famous for it. He was from Missouri, you know. Now, I've never known anyone personally from Missouri. But one of their talents, as I understand it, is that they are talkers. And they can talk to you, whomever you are, wherever you find yourselves, and about anything. That was Harry Truman. Well, so I can just pick up. I haven't, even if I don't know it firsthand, I've read about it or heard other people talk about it, maybe. And I'm always flapping my gums about something. It drives Donna crazy. So it's nice to be. It's nice to be in QSO with someone who can do the same thing. KK4JBQ.
I remember who I was thinking about. His call was KK4HXA. His name was Rod Taylor, I believe was his last name. I'm not positive about that. But it was Rod. That's who I was talking about. But let me make one call out for some more check-ins, see if anybody else is out there, and then I'll be right back to you and get your thoughts on that. Do we have any additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
Just sitting here checking the mail, sir. Figured I'd check in and join listening to you and Larry do a little rag chew. If you will, sir, please check in Alpha Kilo 4 Hotel Romeo. AK4HR. His name is Mike. My location is at home in Simpsonville tonight, Gary. Hope you, Larry, Miss Donna, Miss Joy, everybody are doing well tonight. But I'm sure, Larry, hello to you, sir. Gary, 73, tell Miss Joy we said hello. 73 to you and everyone on the net. No traffic, no comments tonight, Gary.
For DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, I would like to say good evening to AK4HR, Mr. Mike, down there in Simpsonville. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Mr. Mike. Tell Miss Angela we said hello. I'll relay your message in there to Joey. Y'all have a great evening, what's left of it. Back to you, Larry. JK4JBQ, KI4DOS, and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
Thank you, Gary, for recalling Rod. And we did do a lot of riding together. We served on the club's executive board together. I was VP, and he had many other jobs. We would attend the board meeting before a club meeting, kind of put it all in one day, you know. And that was every month, and we took turns driving, and that Rod lived in Taylor's, and that's not very far from here, so we kind of had an equal amount of driving time, but we could talk, yes indeed, we talked about everything. A great loss. I think about a month before he would have retired, he'd already purchased a camper. He and I installed a 2-meter rig in that camper, and his idea was to just hit the road as soon as he retired, and he just hit the road. He and his wife, Julie, had been looking forward to retirement for many years. Most people do. So about a month before, he had a major heart attack while changing one of those commercial lamps in a high ceiling. Fell off the ladder. He was gone before he hit the ground. Shock to everybody. Just a major, you know, you feel yourself sink, you know. It's a physical feeling when something like that comes your way. You feel like the earth beneath you drops away, and you fall at least a foot. Such a shock it was. Yeah. Rod enjoyed his TS-2000. He had a nice rig. He had one bedroom in the home turned over to three interests. He was interested in model railroads. He had a three-tier panorama kind of thing, you know. I mean, he had three tracks, different, I guess he could have, if he wanted, three different locomotives and the cars that came behind it. Running at the same time, had something that looked like a dashboard. Yeah, and he could control those things. Well, it was just fascinating to me. He has some special engines, I think, in particular, special engines that he had on the wall above. And there was one track that went around the rectangular room. This track would move, and I asked him once. I said, "Rod, goodness, how long did it take you to?" It was a pretty good sized bedroom. How long did it take you to build up all of this? And he said, "Oh, I've been working on this for about 6 years now." Yeah, and he loved guitar. He loved to play guitar. He had a little difficulty because when he was a boy, he was helping his dad with some, you know, limbing a tree. And that they did some trim work on, you know, to shorten a long limb or something like that. And his dad said, "Now you hold that right there. And his dad cut the tip of his little finger off, you know. And you would never know, you know. But he says, "And I carry this to remember my dad." You know? Yeah, I miss Rod. I really do. And Julie was a wonderful cook, although she could not taste anything. Now, there's another marvel. A marvelous cook who couldn't sample and taste things. She went strictly by recipes that she developed along with Rod's help, you know. But it was just something that happens to people from time to time. But she was a marvelous cook. Anyway, a little bit about Rod. And you were right about his call sign. His call sign is one before Earl's call sign. Earl's call sign is KK4HXB, and Rod was KK4HXA. Yeah. So they must have been in the same testing session, I would think. Earl, if you're still out there and have got anything you want to say about Rod, just have at it. KK4JBQ.
Reasonably Ridge 2 meter net. Well, Larry and I don't know what brought him to mind, but you know, it's like we were talking about Ray. You know, you have certain people that kind of stand out in your memory, and you have special thoughts about. And he was one of them. I mean, I didn't know him as well as you did by any means, but. It's strange how your mind works sometimes. And like I said, I couldn't remember while I had the key down on the microphone, but when I released it and you started talking, it popped into my head. I guess that's what we...
Sir, if we live long enough to endure senior moments... If we should live that long enough, we are fortunate indeed. I have to think of it that way because I'm being reminded in several ways. I'm being reminded of my age as we move through time more and more, more often. Donna is kind, a very kind woman. She does not point it out, and she lets me get by with it without drawing any attention. So I fight this, as any reasonable person ought to, by challenging myself with reading and remembering what I read, and discussing things and remembering things that are just, you know, hard to reach and hard to remember. It's the exercise. That's, you know, any muscle, even the brain, and I'm not suggesting that it's a muscle, but, you know, it needs to be exercised. I truly believe in that. I was 46 years old when I graduated from college. I grew up in a family where that wasn't an important thing. You know, good people, salt of the earth people. But nobody in my family before me, going back as far as I can tell, nobody went for higher education. And I had a great thirst for it. And to tell you the truth, honestly, I wanted to keep my mind alive. I wanted to study as much as I could and experience stuff from, you know, a different point of view. And I look back on, it just doesn't matter. And if you had a good experience in college, it doesn't really matter what your major was. Maybe it does to someone who later offers you a job, I understand. But it's all the other stuff. You know, for me, it was music appreciation. It was an art appreciation class that I took. And these are auditorium-type classes. But we had one professor in music. I took several of those. And at the time, I had listened to a lot of classical music, so more than any other. And they were all younger than me, of course. But he did what in the past was known as dropping the needle. And I know this because it happened for Donna. Donna got her degree, you know, some 35 years before I got mine. dropping the needle was kind of a, it was a test. So you talked about and listened to pieces of music, and the test was that you bring in a phonograph, you know, and take the needle, the arm and the needle, and drop it somewhere on the record, and then lift it up. So maybe you'd have two or three bars of a piece of music, and you'd have to identify that. It was a test. You had to identify it. And I got them all. And I don't wonder why. I don't, because, you know, I enjoyed that kind of music. Well, my professor, years later, as I explained, years later, I was a non-traditional student. I was in class with a lot of 20-year-olds, you know. And so this guy didn't drop the needle. He played cello. So he brought his instrument to class, and he played short little pieces of cello music. And that was better than dropping a needle on a phonograph record. KK4JBQ.
Hey, monitoring.
Well, it's amazing what you can go through and what you have to do. You were talking about dropping the needle on there for a test. I got to thinking about that old TV program, Name That Tune. I can name that tune in three notes. My wife was real good at it, but I wasn't that good at it. But, that's all right. That was her thing and not mine. But it's all good with it, you know, one way or the other. But it's, I'm glad that you went ahead and got your degree, even though you graduated college late. Later than some, but not as late as others. I know there's some older folks that still going to school, which is a good thing, but that's, you keep your mind sharp. That's one thing that I think we all need to do, you know, do a little something to try to keep our minds sharp. And this hobby is a good example. I mean, I can't remember back when I did not have my ham license, because I've enjoyed it so much since I've got them. But you know, you'll be sitting here and you'll be talking about somebody, and do you remember so and so? Their call was this, and all of a sudden, I remember that call. Now that you mention it, that happened to me earlier today, and somebody asked me, said, "Did you remember this person?" And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I can't say that I did or didn't. I said, but I know you said that they were ham. I said, if you could give me their call sign, I could probably put two together. But I said, my problem is I don't put people's last names down. I write their first name and their call down. And that's the way their call signs are last name, or their first name, I guess, maybe, I don't know. But I associate the name and the call, and then I've got the person. The last names, I don't know. I know some, but I don't know them all. Maybe I should go back and try to remember everybody's last name to finish the roll call out.
My goodness, it's true. It's kind of I think something that we all expect. We identify ourselves by call sign and first name. It's understandable. I mean, we're kind of in a big room here, you know, and a lot of people can listen. And anonymity is important to some people. You might remember this, I used to say when I first got into this hobby, I said, I want to keep my head down, you know. You know what happens to the turkey that don't keep his head down. And so I didn't want to speak out, and I didn't want to become, you know, vocal. Now look what's happened here.
No ass in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, but KK4JBQ. Well, hey, it's all good. I've never really had a bad case of Mike fright except the one night, the first night I called the net, and I sat down in front of the radios with my pad and my pencils and all this and got ready to call the net, and boy, I started sweating bullets. I said, I can't do this, but here, 20 years later, I'm still doing it. And still enjoying it a whole lot. Hang on a minute, let me make another call. Any other check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. In case somebody else might be in here at the bottom of this hour. But it's all good. I didn't have any more check-ins, so... Well, we've talked about washing cars and keeping our minds sharp and our loved ones that we miss. They're still with us in spirit and in memory. What else we got, Larry? I know we'll find something else.
I think that a conversation, a good conversation, is just ideas that are strung together. Now, you know, one of the things that I did in my working life was I was a jeweler. Did a lot of repairs on jewelry. Did a lot of restringing of pearls and other things that are strung together, like pearls. So a conversation is a lot like that. Now, just imagine in your mind's eye, imagine how someone would pick up a pearl and string it on, tie a knot. That's the best way. There are pearls that aren't knotted, but the best ones. It's more labor-intensive, of course. It costs a little more, but you'll spend just as much to choose a different kind of stringing material, you know. You take a jump from synthetic fiber up to something like silk or gold threads. There are, believe it or not, there are some gold threads that's appropriate for pearls that have a kind of a yellowish tone. They can be made more attractive if the thread is wound with threads of gold in it. It just looks great. Anyhow, a conversation is just taking things and putting them together. So I'll do that. I'll do that right now. So you were saying how, we were together talking about how conversations are more than just the language we use and the things that we bring to mind. My mama said that. She said to me many times, as I was a little child, she said to me while correcting me, she says, I'm not talking just to hear my head rattle. And I love this about my mama. She had things that stick with me. Every person, I should hope, remembers some of the things that their mama said. Good guidance sometimes. My mama wasn't in a good mood when she'd say this, but she'd say, I'm not talking just to hear my head rattle. Well, in a sense, I do. I do just that. I enjoy language. I enjoy putting a thought together and relating something maybe a little different to somebody else. Now, if we've had the same thought, well, that's helpful, maybe. But it's also possible, it's quite possible that this person had never thought in that way before. I've run across that. And it's been kind of somebody wakes up and opens their eyes for the first time. Maybe they hadn't thought of that. Maybe they hadn't thought about stringing pearls together. I can tell you a whole day's worth of conversation about pearls and a whole day's conversation about the different precious metals. I worked with all that stuff for years. And they all have a nature. Pearls have a nature. What they're made of, how they're made, where their beauty comes from, how they're appreciated by different cultures. The world is full of stuff like this. And that's part of the reason why we're here. It's not the grandest reason why we're here. I think that is to be here for each other. Sometimes people have to be shown that the only thing we really have in this world is each other. Everything else is temporary. And as you and I have discussed, even when somebody passes, you still have them. I've still got a little piece of Ray Allison. It will always be with me. I have a little piece of Rod Taylor, who will always be with me. And I got a little piece of you, too. KK4JBQ.
I think you pretty well summed it up. You know, we're just a sum of everyone we meet and the people that we talk with and we associate with and this sort of thing. It all has an impact on us one way or the other. And most of the time it's in a good way. Sometimes it's in a not so good way, but, you know, we got to take the good with the bad. Which, you know, I wish there was all good, but there's not. There's some bad out there. But if you look close enough, you'll always find the good, regardless of the bad. But, oh, gosh, you know, I'm another one that just likes to talk, and it's evident that tonight, because I've enjoyed the conversation and the things we've talked about. But as the things go on, you know, we'll try to get other people involved in it. Don't like a whirl. He come in there and made a few comments. And we appreciate that. That's not an interruption to our conversation. It's just an addition.
Yeah, and it's greatly appreciated. Because you and I could, as we have both admitted, you and I could talk. And talk and talk, but it's like putting a seasoning on your favorite food. If something a little bit different, you sprinkle that on, and I don't know. When I was a little boy, I ate a lot of soup beans. I ate simple food. That's what my mama knew to make. You know, she would have a meat on the table. She would have a beans of some kind, either green beans or soup beans or lima beans or whatever. She was fond of the basic food groups. And I ate simple food, and I benefit from that. You know, it was all right, you know, a short trip from the ground, you know, not processed. I understand why people can't be involved. It takes some time, not just to prepare a meal, but to learn how to do it and what fits together. Don and I must admit some things that people just wouldn't think. Don and I eat one meal a day, anywhere between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock. And we watch our only television for that maybe hour and a half or 2 hours. We watch television recorded. And it's quite often the time that we spend together. Now, of course, we'll, in passing, or maybe there's something that I sit down and talk with her about on purpose, you know. but just to be in the same room for a couple hours, that's helpful for a couple. And we'll watch cooking shows. Now, in the beginning, I was being taught a great deal. My mother would not teach me how to cook. I can remember as a little boy, before I could see the top of the stove, asking my mama to show me what she was doing. And she would chastise me. That's an old word, isn't it? She would chastise me and says, "You're a little boy. Now, if you were a little girl, I would teach you how to cook. You'd already have some lessons behind. But now you're a little boy and you learn different things." Well, I accepted that, you know. Most of the things my mama would say, I accepted. But this got me. It really did. I went on and on through the years that I spent with my mama. And I would remind her from time to time. I soon saw the top of the stove. I don't know how old I was, maybe 9 years old or something like that. And she'd give me the same runaround. Men don't cook. Well, I didn't know that they do. Not at that point in my life. I didn't know there were chefs who cooked and did, you know, and did quite well. And I wouldn't have had an argument with my mom anyway. I wouldn't dispute straight out what she had told me. But I got her once. And this was later on. I was in my teens, I think, by this time. I says, "Mama, you know, when I leave home," and I knew this would be touchy. Whenever you say something like that to your mom, it touches a place. You know, it really would. So I told her, "When I leave home, I've got to know how to feed myself. Don't you know?" And she'd say, No. You'll have a woman, and straight away, and you won't have to learn how to cook. Come on now. She'll know how to cook just like me." Well, I'd let that pass, but then time went on. And I'd say, "Mama, from what I understand, for some people, it can be years before they find a mate. And whether it's a man or a woman, whether they're a cook or not, you know, that's a chancy thing, too." Oh, my word. So anyhow, I got her a little bit with that one. That maybe, just maybe, I need to know some things. And she taught me how to make biscuits. KK4JBQ.
Larry, I guess she figured if you know how to make biscuits, you know how to throw some beans in a pot of water and boil. That sort of thing, maybe. I don't know. But, my mom told me, you know, she said, "Well, you're going to learn to do everything that needs to be done in and around the house as well as outside and working on vehicles." Well, you know, my dad taught me most of that. But mother taught me a lot of stuff in the house, which was a good thing. She taught me about, I don't say she taught me how to cook. I watched her more than I did anything else, and I watched. Well, my dad cooked a lot because my mother worked, and my dad worked too, but he worked third shift, and he would come home, and he'd take mom to work, and when he got back home, he'd go to bed, and then evenings he'd get up and start supper, and then go pick mother up and bring her home. And then he would finish supper, you know, that way mother didn't have to cook after working all day. So they both taught me how to cook a little bit, you know, different things. And mom taught me stuff, you know, taught me how to iron, which people don't do anymore, hardly. Make beds, you know, make hospital quarters on the beds and that sort of thing. Just all kinds of stuff that is good to know that, you know, if you go out on your own, you know, you don't have to let it go because you don't know how to do it, or you don't have to ask anybody because they've already shown you. We kind of grew up, you know, real close to the same way. You and I are real close in age, and our parents taught us the best they could, and I tried to teach my children the best I could, and sometimes I think, well, their raising didn't take, but at the same time, I give Joy a lot more credit than I take for raising the children, for the main reason being as I drove a truck and I was not at home. I was out making a living and putting beans on the table and that sort of thing. That's not an excuse, it's just the way it was. That's, you know, the way we chose to do it. I chose to drive a truck instead of working in a store or something where I had normal hours. So my hours were kind of crazy, and I wasn't always at home. But I did contribute to the raising of our children, but Joy did the biggest part of it. I give her more credit.
Talked to several men who, in one way or another, have said something similar to what you just gave to all of us. Frankly, it does happen that way, and unfortunately, it happens that way. My dad drove a truck before I was born, and maybe a year or so, I was maybe a year or so old, and he left the truck for the same reason that you were talking about there, that you are not that involved with rearing the family, you know, and he wanted to be more a part. I appreciate that. But the one that gets me the most is men who serve their country in a foreign war. I've known a few folks like that, and they have missed so much. If they spend 15 or 20 years in the service, their time at home was infrequent, and their impact, perhaps, on their children, not as much as they would have liked. And my heart is, it's not my experience, but I can certainly understand how that would matter a great deal. If I'm talking in the presence of any service members, not only do I thank you for your service, I thank you for your sacrifice. Well, one thing about biscuits, I want to circle around and talk a little bit about biscuits. Very countryfied, you might say. I've lived in a lot of places, so my accent has been smoothed over, and my sister accused me without being specific, having been influenced by foreigners. And, losing my accent, and then some other people said, where are you from? You're not from around here. I've lived in many places. So they'd say, you're not from around here, and I'd tell them where I was raised, and they said, well, goodness gracious, I wouldn't have thought. But something made them think that I wasn't from around there. It's quite true. I enjoy different languages, not languages, but different accents from people where I've lived before. New Orleans was a big one for me. I just really appreciate the influence of the Cajun folks around the edges of New Orleans. and it's kind of spicy, But again, about biscuits. So I was raised, the biscuit is a utensil. Now, tell me if you agree. A biscuit is a utensil. You take a biscuit and you kind of tear it a little bit, you form it in your hands, and then you put it down on a piece of food, and you kind of run it around the plate a little bit to sop up a little bit of the nice gravy or whatever might still be there, and then you put it in your mouth. It serves as a knife and a fork and a spoon all together. KK4JBQ.
KOS and a Blue Ridge 2 meter depth, KK4JBQ. Yes, I agree, Larry, 100%. A biscuit is more than a piece of food. It is a utensil. gosh, I can't. Well, I think about, you know, I think about when I was up at my grandparents'. My grandmother would make a big pan of biscuits, and I'd go out and help her, or help Granddaddy make milk the cow. After I learned, he didn't go out there with me anymore. He'd just tell me don't spill it the milk when I was bringing it back in the house. And then my grandmother would churn the butter, and you know, we had fresh milk out of the cow, fresh butter out of the churn. And Granddad would go out to the, he kept bees, and he'd go out and get a little fresh honey, or most of the time he had some in the house somewhere, and he'd get a little honey and put him a big old pat of butter down in his plate, and pour honey over it, take his fork and mix it up real good, and sit there and eat biscuits, take a biscuit and just sop up that butter and honey with the edge of the biscuit. So, yep, it was a fork and a spoon and a shovel, and I don't know what else you might want to label it as, but it was also good eating.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, my. And I don't eat things that I used to eat, used to enjoy eating, because it's just not there. Donna is not from around where I grew up. Upper New York State is where Donna is originally from. And that's fine, you know. But you make me recall things that I had forgotten already, because it's in your experience as well. So I can remember so well when my grandmother, on my dad's side, taught me how to milk. Now, this involves a cow, and it involves a bucket and some very intimate contact with the cow. And I was a little skittish about it, to tell you the truth. But she thought it was about time I learned where milk came from. And it was the most loving thing for her to teach me like that. And so we took that bucket of freshly squeezed milk up to the porch. The barn was quite a ways, so we each carried a bucket. They had three cows, and they were all milked every day. And so there was fresh milk, and we'd churn that butter. And she'd show me. I was on her lap, of course, and she put my hand on hers, and she would just go up and down, and she'd say, you keep this rhythm, just up and down. Up and down. And she would tell me how you knew when you would get to a place where you could stop. You had churned enough to make butter. Ah, my goodness. How wonderful it was. Yeah. Well, we could carry on, couldn't we? And I guess we have. But out of respect for anybody who might be listening, yourself included, I thank you for the conversation, Gary. And anyone else who's still listening, I hope that you had something in your past that you cannot and will not let go of. Those things are cherished for the remainder of your life. But I should let you go, and maybe somebody else has got something to say. I'll be here if you do. Thank you, Gary, for calling the net, bringing us all together. This is KK4JBQ 73.
Exceed, just been monitoring.
Appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us a little bit. Didn't mean to get so long-winded on the rag chew portion to this evening, but we did have some other folks come in and comment on some of the things that we were saying. And I don't know who else out there still listening, but if you are, I hope you have been entertained, and I hope that we brought back some memories for you, because we had some memories brought back for each other this evening, and I wish that a good time. But Larry, do appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us. Enjoyed it as always. Look forward to doing it again. Always enjoy our conversations. Please tell Miss Donna we said hello, and hopefully y'all will stay warm and safe in the cool, blustery weather that we're getting ready to have. But y'all take care, and we'll say 73 for now. Do we have any other check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. Good night tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Now, y'all come back again tomorrow night. Give Mr. Matt, WG4MC, a good dose of rider's cramp. I'll submit my net report, and then we'll close the net out. I've had a grand total of 51 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night and give Mr. Matt a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. We're thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night. God bless. This is KI4DOS clear.